Now, in recent times, there's been a lot of focus on the Netherlands because a farmers' party there stunned politics in Holland and became the biggest and was the big winner in recent regional elections. The farmer citizen movement called BBB was only set up 4 years ago in the wake of widespread farmers' protests. And this group, this BBB farmers group, aimed to fight government plans to slash nitrogen emissions, which are harmful to biodiversity. And the government in Holland want to do this by dramatically reducing livestock numbers and buying out thousands of farms. And this farmers group, the BBB, which have done so well in the recent elections in the Netherlands, have said, no, 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 we are saying no to this. Pat O'Toole writes for the Irish Farmers Journal, and he's a very interesting opinion piece. Given what we've seen in Holland, is there room in the political landscape here for a similar farmers' party? Pat, thank you for joining us on the Kerry Today Show on Radio Kerry this morning.
Good morning, Tracy.
Pat, tell me, what would you think? Do you think that a similar group with similar values, such as the BBB in Holland, which came to prominence to fight government plans to slash nitrogen emissions, which the government there wanted to do by reducing livestock numbers, that's not everything that the BBB is about in Holland. But do you think there is room in the Irish political landscape for a similar party to represent farmers who would be of the view that they are being unfairly targeted, as they would see it, although the evidence would say contrary, that they are being unfairly targeted when it comes to combating climate change?
I think it's very possible that we're going to see a farmer party. I think that, but having said that, the BBB, their success has taken everyone by surprise. They only got 1% of the national vote in 2021 in the general election. And what we had last week were the regional elections, which will then lead into how the Senate will be formed, the upper house. There's 75 seats in the Senate. And the BBB got 20% of the vote. They were the largest single party in each of the Netherlands' 12 provinces. And they will now have 17 of the 75 seats in the upper house. It's seismic because the Netherlands is smaller than Ireland, a population of 18 million, one of the most urban countries in Europe, one of the most progressive countries in Europe. And here's this small-c conservative movement, which is rural-based, and it's toppled all the existing parties from a standing start. What we have in Ireland, especially in rural Ireland, there are 22 independent TDs. Most of those independent TDs are rural. About 19 of them are obviously and identifiably rural and in rural constituencies. And they broadly would share the same attitude to some of the issues which are affecting rural Ireland. Turf cutting, transport, planning. Planning for one-off houses especially, and farming issues. And if we look at those independents, the possibility is that they could coalesce. They're currently in three distinct groups. You had Michael Healy Ray on this time yesterday. He's in a group called the Rural Independents, and he named his fellow members yesterday: Carol Nolan, Matty McGrath, his brother Danny, Michael Collins in Cork, and Richard O'Donoghue in Limerick. And you also have the regional independents, a broader-based group, and that was founded by Dennis Nocton and is nine strong. And then there's the independent group, with Michael Fitzmaurice leading that group. So if they were to come together with a common agreed platform, a movement, if you were, as opposed to a formal political party, they would be significant. And in our polls in the Farmers' Journal, which we do twice a year, independents coming in third behind Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, quite close to Fianna Fáil at times, in the high teens and well ahead of Sinn Féin. So it's certainly within farming and within rural Ireland, there is a support base there for that conservative, concerned reaction to government policy. the question is whether all those egos and all those different very independent-minded people could coalesce into something more formal in advance of a general election, and that's what we have to wait and see. But I asked Michael Fitzmaurice, I asked Matty McGrath, Verona Murphy and Michael McNamara from Clare their opinion on whether it could happen or not for this week's paper, which is out this morning, and their answers are interesting. They certainly are not ruling it out.
And you write, and we're speaking to Pat O'Toole of the Irish Farmers Journal, who's written a very interesting article wondering if there's room in the political landscape for the rise of a farmers' party or a movement representing farmers, that, and if that could gain similar success to a party in the Netherlands representing farmers, or which says it represents farmers, that has done very well in recent regional elections there. You write a very interesting paragraph you've written here, Pat. There are some parallels, you write, between the dynamic in Irish politics and the BBB, that's the Dutch Farmers' Party's, emergence. The imposition of environmental restrictions on farming, the sense among some in rural areas that their voice is not being heard within government, and a broader conservative resistance to what could loosely be called the progressive agenda. Indeed, you write, you could put most of Ireland's 19 rural independent TDs into some or all of those categories.
Yes, and I think that there are dangers for Ireland. Politically, Ireland has not fallen into the same kind of culture war and the same kind of ideological divide that we've seen devastate the political life in the United States, in Britain. And if you look at a country like Italy, where we've now a hard right government, I don't know if it would be good for farming, and I certainly don't think it would be good for Irish society in the long term to head down that road. But having said that, apart from those sort of issues around the social agenda, and if you want to call them issues of personal morality, if you look at things like planning and turf cutting, like, certainly there is a huge division there. There is a view in Dublin among the political classes that one-off houses in rural Ireland are inappropriate, that they are energy hungry, that they use too many resources, that it leads to high transport needs. And there is a view in rural Ireland that one-off housing is part of the social structure. Without the one-off houses, you don't have the post office, the pub, the shop, you don't have the school and the GA club, that our rural Ireland, which, remember, over half of Ireland's population lives in rural Ireland, and half of the population of rural Ireland live in a dispersed way in one-off houses. So there's a single issue which is hugely divisive, and planning has bedeviled rural Ireland, whether it's planning for houses, planning for roads, planning for forestry, planning for offshore wind, onshore wind. That alone has been a very divisive issue, and rural Ireland is, you know, at breaking point on that issue alone.
And a comment has come in, bit of history from a listener, history lesson from a listener. Listener, thank you for getting in touch with us on 066 712 3666. Caller says, in the very first Dáil, there was actually a farmers' party. There was an entity, a farmers' party. It had a few sitting TDs. So there is a bit of history there.
Yeah, and they were quite large farmers. We also had Clann na Talún in the inter-party government in the late 40s. Which were a party of smaller farmers, as I understand it. So we have had that before. But we have had, over the last 50 years, really, since the farmers' rights protests of the mid-60s, we've had very strong farmer representative groups, lobby groups. They are social partners, and the IFA have been, I suppose, regarded as the voice of farming for most of the last half century. But over the last decade, we've seen a dissipation of the farmer voice. We've seen a whole rash of new farm organisations spring up over the last 10 years. And there are a number of reasons for that. It's quite a complex picture, but largely the administration, yes, of farming and of farmers has become much more complex. And as a result, Farmers are not speaking with a common voice, because what is good for farmer A is bad for farmer B, and issues have become divisive. But we have not seen a political movement within farming really since the war.
And as you said there, Pat, in today's edition of the Farmers Journal, you got some interesting responses from independents such as Verona Murphy regarding the possibility of a movement rather than a party, I suppose, a movement representing farmers' interests, becoming more organised and coming together ahead of next year's local elections, possibly, or whenever the general election is called. We'll have to leave it there, but a fascinating insight. I really appreciate it, Pat. And if anyone has any views, is there room in the political landscape for a farmers' party? Get in touch, text or WhatsApp to 083 300 3300.